Good morning and welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Pekudei Sheni, the second Aliyah in Parshas Pekudei. The topic of our Aliyah is making the Ephod and the Choshen. It is 20 Pesukim long, running from Perek Lamites, Pasuk Beis to Pasuk Chof Aleph. We hear in this Aliyah again of very much the same details we heard in Parshas Tetzaveh in the same order about the creation of the Ephod. Just a quick reminder, we're not going to get into all the details right now, but the Ephod is this apron which is worn. It is worn around the back, tied around the front. There's a belt which girdles the coin in the front, and it has shoulder straps which lean over the coin's shoulders. At the end of each of those straps is a stone, and on those stones are written the names of the nations or the tribes of Israel, six on each of those stones. Then we hear about the choshen. The choshen itself is a rectangular piece of cloth which is also sewed from these beautiful different colors, gold, blue, purple, crimson, and sheish marzon linen, and it is then bent over into a square. In that we have then these rows of gems, 3x4, and on them are written the tribes' names, the names of the tribes on Israel, and we hear how it is connected to by these golden chains to the top where the stones are at the top, the settings on the ephod, and then there's these blue strings which attach it to the belt of the ephod at the bottom with the little gold rings in the ephod. So there's really two parts of the whole that all connect. So the choshen is in the front, the ephod is really essentially in the back. And that's how it works. Now, we looked at some of the details in a Parshas Tetzaveh when we first came across this in the command. This is the application. A few basic questions in our Aliyah. Number one is, how was the gold used to make the ephod? Because in this Aliyah, we have this very strange phrase, which is Vayirakau es pachei hazahav, that they, so to speak, flattened. Rashi says, it comes to the word Roka ha'aretz alamayim, flattened the gold to make the thread. So what is going on over here? The Ramban points out that there's no other detail in all of the Big Day Kohuna which explains or changes the way it was described in Parshas Tetzaveh except for this detail here. Most of it's very repetitive. The reason is because it is very hard for people to conceive how to put gold into clothes. Rashi explains how would they do that. Literally from the idea L'roka ha'aretz alamayim, to flatten this is that they would take the gold, they would beat it into very, very thin sheets, and then they would slice it into these very thin threads, and then they would use these threads as one of the six different threads necessary to make the thicker strands, which would then be used to create these beautiful garments. So you can imagine the beautiful colors that it would look like as well. You'll notice that as you start our Aliyah, this Aliyah over here, you'll see a phrase which starts coming up, and it comes up many times throughout the course of the next few Aliyahs, and that is Ka'asher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, as Hashem commanded Moshe, that everything was done with that command. So why is this necessary, and why is it necessary to be repeated so many times? So there are a number of Mefarshim who deal with this. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, and it needed a great deal of precision. So what's being described over here is that the precision with which he did it is what was demonstrated was actually played itself out. There was no element of creativity over here. This idea is, by the way, very important and relates to the notion that we've discussed a few times, which is the idea of the Kuzari. Rabbi Yehuda Alevi explains that the sin of the golden calf was an expression of too much creativity, where the nation of Israel, perhaps with legitimate ideas and intentions, did an illegitimate action to create a golden image. And the idea they wanted to do was to create a place, to create a tangible expression of the experience of Sinai to which they would connect. However, it was illegitimate in the way that they did it. Hashem said this is not the way to do it, and therefore it was not correct. So it's interesting that the tikkun, the fixing, the correction of that, is doing it in a way which is very much in subordination, in self-limiting, in terms of making the Mishkan just as precisely it was commanded, with no extra bells, whistles, or frills attached to it as well. That's the first idea that Rachel HaKadosh says. The second idea says is that they actually invested in it tremendous kavana, tremendous ideas, intent. He goes so far as to say that in the deeper ideas that were made when making the Mishkan, we know that generally speaking, there is action and there's thought and feeling. And when it comes to thought and feeling, a lot of that is very central to the service in the Mishkan. If a person just brings a korban, then it's missing if there's no thought and introspection by the owners. But even more so, let's say a kohen is bringing a korban, has thoughts which are incorrect. They think to sacrifice his korban in the wrong place, time, or for wrong intentions. It will invalidate the korban. That korban will be invalidated because of the incorrect thoughts at the same time. We know that in other areas in Judaism, thought has a huge impact, certainly when it comes to things of holiness, conception of a child. The Orach HaMakosh talks about it in Parshas Tazria. We're going to get there. But there's a lot to talk about when it comes to this. And the Orach HaMakosh over here explains that when making the Mishkan, it wasn't simply a beautiful edifice. It was an edifice which had certain metaphysical qualities to it, which were only achievable through the actual thought process. And therefore, what's being said over here is, Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe, is yes, they did all the beautiful art and architecture which were describing the Pasha, but that was just the externality. There was an oral tradition that accompanied this, and that was Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe. All the details, all the ideas, the Aruch HaMakosh gives an example, like when Rabbi Akiva would learn 300 halachas out of the very, out of the, even the crowns and the letters of the Torah. Well, all that was also given to Bezalel and Oliav and all the artisans, that the ideas, the deeper Kabbalistic ideas underpinning the creation of the Mishkan were also Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe. Those are two explanations that Orach Chaim suggests. Number one is precision and not creativity. Number two is all the extra ideas and intentions. However, Bala Turim famously actually says in the next, later on in the parasha, in Perek Mem Pasuk Chof Aleph, the Bala Turim says a remarkable thing. He says two possibilities. One is that, remember that Moshe Rabbeinu had said, Mecheni na misifrucha asher kasavta. Remove me, please, from the book that you wrote. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to save the nation of Israel, Parshas Kisisa, from the outcome of the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give some degree of fruition to that statement, even though it wasn't fully carried out. But it did find expression in Parshas Tetzaveh, in which Moshe Rabbeinu's name is erased. And therefore, to emphasize that Moshe Rabbeinu is very much here part of the process of the Mishkan and part of the future of the nation of Israel, his name is mentioned, Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe, he's included multiple times. However, says the Oznaim Torah, that explains one very fascinating detail, and that is that we only have this phrase of Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe when it comes to the big day kahuna, the making of the clothing in Parshas Pekudei. But we do not have that phrase attached to the making of the kelim in Parshas Vayakhel, all the different vessels in the Mishkan. And the reason for that is because Moshe Rabbeinu's name was erased from Parshas Tetzaveh, which refers to the making of the Big Day Kohuna, and it was not erased from Parshas Truma, about the making of the vessels, which is why it is a natural, so to speak, supplement to what was missing in Tetzaveh. A very beautiful perspective. And finally, one last idea the Bala Turim says, which really is truly remarkable. It's a game changer in terms of understanding davening, is he points out that in fact there were 18 times in our Parsha where it says, Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe as Hashem commanded Moses. And there's one other phrase which is somewhat similar but not quite the same one, which is mentioned one time, Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe. It is mentioned in a little bit of a different turn of phrase in this in the parasha as well. That is corresponding to the 18 brachos and the 19th bracha of the Shmona Esrei, meaning Anshei Knesset HaGdola looked at these 18 qua 19 times mentioned in our parasha and used them as the format and basis for creating the Shmona Esrei, the 18 or 19 brachos. But more than that, says Orach HaMakadosh. This is actually quoting the Yerushalmi, that if you count the number of words in all of those phrases of as Hashem commanded Moses, if you count the number of words in all 19 of them, you will see that there are 113 words in total. If you count the chasima, the concluding words of every bracha in the Shmona Esrei, which is Baruch Atah Hashem Mogen Avraham, Baruch Atah Hashem Nechayim, Baruch Atah Hashem Hakel HaKadosh. If you count all those words up, there are 113 words there, which means to say, precisely not just the number of occurrences, but also the very content is parallel to the creation of the Shmona Esrei later on. And then the Baal Torim adds one extra point, and that is if you count the word lev, the amount of times the Torah says the word lev, It appears 113 times in the Torah as well, corresponding to the chasim, the conclusion of all of the 19 brachos in the Shmona Esrei. And I believe that what's being said over here is this balance that we have in our Shmona Esrei. On the one hand, we have this rigidity, these very precise measures like the Mishkan was made, but on the other hand, we have this organic nature of emotion, which is what our heart puts into those different words and structures and times. And that's the combination of Tila. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah saw this, the creation of the Mishkan in our own hearts. They learned it from the actual creation of the Mishkan very, very precisely. All these patterns showing that there's much more than meets the eye on a regular day when we daven. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.